As the sign says, the reading will be Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs 1, first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to perceive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction.
To turn this thing on, then I finally found the button. Good morning. Certainly good to see everyone here this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time from your holiday to come and worship God. Thank you for coming to listen to me. Appreciate that very much. Going to talk to you about the wisdom of Solomon this morning. This is not probably your traditional Christmas message that you might hear if you went to a different church. Let me give you my Christmas message. When Jesus came the first time, there was no room for him in the inn. When he comes again, the world will not be able to hold him. That's the Christmas message today, courtesy of Facebook. This sermon came about as from Brother Chuck Griffin being here. One of the questions asked him as he was here to try out for the preaching was, what is your favorite book of the Bible? And he said, Proverbs. And after that, my wife and I started reading the book of Proverbs, one chapter at a time. And we did that until we had gone through the whole book. And I became so interested in the book of Proverbs and the wisdom therein, I said, this would make a good lesson. This would make a good sermon. So maybe this isn't your traditional sermon. I don't know what you're thinking this morning, what you were going to hear. Maybe you're thinking this is a little bit more like a Bible class kind of thing, a Sunday morning Bible class kind of thing. Maybe what you're thinking is, look at Dan, he's in his preacher suit today. Maybe you're thinking, is that tie really pink? What color is that tie? And when is he going to trim that darn beard? That thing is looking pretty scraggly. You might be thinking all of those kinds of things, but I hope what you'll think on is the sermon this morning. Now, before I get started with the sermon, I want to do something. You may remember these little things that were in the backs of the pews. The problem is they've been sitting in the backs of the pews for too long. I want to get them out and being given to people who need to hear the gospel of Christ. So here's what I'm going to do. I've got a stack of them here, and I'm going to ask two men to come forward and help me out with this. And basically, if you're a baptized believer here this morning, you're a member of the Lord's church, I want every member of the Lord's church to go out with one of these in their hand. That's all right. I have two men helping, but We're good. Thank you, Brother Warren. Come on up. So if you gentlemen would just go down each side and hand one of those to each believer, each Christian. The challenge is, in the next month, the month of January, I would like you to give that one card to one person who you know needs to hear the gospel of Christ. One card to one person, a friend of yours, an acquaintance, somebody you might meet. And we're going to get these cards out into the community. I would say maybe there's 50 of us here this morning. We're going to get 50 cards out. And if we get a small response, then basically get those people back to me, and I'll see that they get in touch with the big picture of the Bible. You could also talk to Brother Mitch. Brother Mitch knows how to give the big picture presentation. There's a couple others in here that do. And if you haven't heard of the big picture presentation, you may want to get that. Another quick thing. There's a handout for the sermon this morning, which is really to be taken home and digested. It says, everything I need to know I learned from the Bible. And it's got a bunch of scriptures from Proverbs. If you like this sermon this morning, definitely pick one of these up and take it home and spend some time looking at it and looking at the scriptures. But let's get started this morning because we have a limited amount of time and I don't want to keep you over, but we'll just go through this real quick. What are my goals for you in this lesson this morning? Well, number one is to know why Proverbs is valuable. Why is that a good book of the Bible to read? Number two, why do Proverbs work? And number three, to encourage you to study the book, to encourage you to share its wisdom with other people. We talk about sharing the gospel, but there's no reason why we can't share the wisdom of the Bible with others, non-Christians. We can bless them by doing that. We can encourage people to build a good life and to prepare for the next life through the book of Proverbs. So these are my goals for you. This is what I hope you will get out of this lesson. And maybe all of this lesson is going to do is just tease you a little bit to go do your own study of the book of Proverbs. So here's a question. What if when you turned 18, you could only have one suit of clothes to wear all the time? You only had one set of clothes. Now, in today's society, I don't know about you, my closet is full. I've got several suits. I've got more shirts than I need. Matter of fact, I need to do some gifts to the thrift store because I've got way more clothes than I'll ever wear. But back in the olden days, as we called them, a lot of people only had maybe one or two sets of clothes. They might have two shirts to wear, maybe one or two pairs of pants. And so just think about that. If you only had one suit of clothes to wear when you turned 18, what would that be like? Well, what kind of clothes would they be? Would it be stylish? Would it be modern? Would you take more of a country theme to your clothes? Would you go casual? Or would you be more of a formal wear kind of person? What about functionality? Would you try to go for comfort? I think I would. I would try and find something that was pretty comfortable to wear all the time. Would it be maintainable? Can you wash it? Durable. You know, if you only got one, it better be pretty durable. It better be something you can wear a lot and hold up to the wear and tear of everyday life. Would it be adaptable? In other words, here in the desert, we're cold in the winter. We need something to throw over. We're hot in the summer. We need to take something off. Would it be adaptable to the weather? Would it be repairable? Could you repair it easily? Well, and what if the outfit, you had to make it yourself? Whoa. How many people could actually take a sewing machine or needle and thread and make a suit of clothes today? We don't do that anymore, do we? It's hardly never done. Some of you ladies might have sewing machines and maybe have actually made dresses for your daughters or something like that. But what if you had to make a suit of clothes for yourself? That would be a little bit of a problem. What would you need? You'd probably need some instruction. Wouldn't it be nice to have like a master tailor there, somebody who would just help you along the way with the process, somebody you could just work alongside and say, hey, I don't really know how to cut out a pattern. How do I do that? And he could show you how to lay out a pattern, how to cut it, how to do it right. You would probably need a pattern of some kind, right? For your size and build, you would have to have the right size pattern for clothes. You'd maybe a manual, you know, some kind of teaching instruction manual. How do you actually use a sewing machine? All the sewing machines have to have a manual, so you'd have to learn how to use that so that you could do that. You'd probably be tuning into YouTube at some point in time. I know you would, because YouTube's got everything anymore, so you can learn how to do anything on YouTube. Well, what about materials and equipment? What would you need? Sewing machine? Could be handy. That stitching by hand might take a while. A good fabric, of course. You'd have to pick out good fabric. Needle and thread, of course, scissors, and maybe a lot of other things that I don't even know about because I'm not a tailor, but I think they have some special kind of chalk they mark things with. You might have to have all of that. Well, here's the question. I know what you're thinking right now. What does this have to do with Proverbs? I love that picture too. Kind of reminds me of a couple of you, I won't say who. What does this have to do with Proverbs? What's all this talk about making clothes and all of this and your own thing? Well, it's an analogy. Your life is like a suit of clothes. Why is that? You only get one, right? You got one go around here. Folks, we don't teach that doctrine where you get to come back again and try over. Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die and then the judgment. Okay? So there's no do-overs in life. You get one life. You have it for your whole lifetime. You get to start now, right after you're born, and you carry through your life for your whole lifetime. What you do or not do makes it great. Would you agree with that? What you do or you not do makes it great. So you can build a nice suit of clothes, or you can build a kind of crummy looking suit of clothes, and that makes it great. You'll need some instruction to make a good one. Would you agree with me on that? That we all need some teaching along the way to live and make a good life here on this earth and perhaps in the next. So there's my little life analogy between a suit of clothes and your life. Now, what does that have to do again with Proverbs? Well, Proverbs is a practical book on how to live a good life, or maybe, as we might say, fatherly advice for good living. We'll get into some more here, why this is a good fatherly advice. But what is a proverb? Well, it comes from the Latin word proverbium, which is pro, which means instead of, verbium, words. So it's instead of words. So it's a short statement that takes the place of many words. That's a proverb. Now, we'll give you some examples. Here's one right from the book of Proverbs. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. We've all got this one in our head, don't we? Pride goes before a, say it, fall. That's the words we did. I think that's King James. Pride goes before a fall, or in this case, New American Standard, before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. We all know what that means. We know what that is to be a prideful person. And we know the dangers of it. So I could give you a lengthy lecture on pride and its dangers, or you can just keep this little proverb in your head, and when you start feeling a little too puffed up, maybe at work or in your life, maybe you need to say, wait a minute, am I being a little too prideful here? Do I need to kind of reevaluate and maybe get some humility in my life? So there's a good example of a proverb and why it's good. You can talk at length about pride, or you can just accept the proverb. Here's some modern examples. Look before you leap, like mother, like daughter. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. We all know these little quips or sayings, don't we? They're actually modern day proverbs. Some of them probably have a good biblical foundation. Some of them maybe not. We all know what they mean, though. Look before you leap means you got to be a little cautious in life, especially if you're cliff diving, right? Like mother, like daughter, we all know what that means, right? Mothers are often grow up to be just like their daughters. We've seen it time and time again. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't try something, you're not going to gain, right? We understand these are things we know about life. Or my favorite, happy wife, happy life. And notice on this one, you don't need to say the opposite of that. You don't need to say unhappy wife, unhappy life. That's assumed, right? So a proverb, again, a short saying with some truth in it. What is then proverbial wisdom? When we talk about the wisdom of Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon, what is proverbial wisdom? Well, here's the word, the Hebrew word. I'm going to butcher this. I'm going to just say shokma. Closest I can come to it. I don't know if I'm close or not. I'm not Hebrew. I don't speak the language, okay? Shokma. Let's say that. There's the actual Hebrew text, but it's the equivalent of wisdom. Now, it's related to, but not the same as just pure knowledge or intelligence. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. I just spent a little time looking at that. But there was a really interesting thing about a young man that was, he was blind, born blind. And he was also autistic. And so you know those two things gave him a tremendous amount of challenges as a child. But he grew up and he started tinkering on a little toy piano. And a man came in to the visiting their family, who was a piano teacher, noticed this boy tinkering on this piano. And he played this piano, but of course he was just hitting the things and sometimes pounding on the keys. And the piano teacher said, "I think I can teach him to play." Now he's blind, all right? He can hear the music, he can't see the keys, he doesn't know what he's hitting. But the piano teacher very slowly started teaching him very simple tunes on his piano. And later, he developed this tremendous ability to hear any music and reproduce it on the keyboard. Not only that, he could reproduce it in any style. If you said, do it as ragtime jazz, or do it as classical, or do it as, I don't know, what other types there are. He could do it. He could convert that music. And he became a very astute and very accomplished musician. They think now he's a young man. They don't know how far he can take his musical ability. He can hear anything and play it on the piano. It's amazing. That, to me, is the shrewd application of knowledge. In other words, he is now a master musician because he took all the little steps to get there. So he didn't know a lot about notes. He didn't know a lot about the piano, but somebody taught him to do that. The shrewd application of knowledge is true wisdom. It's not just knowing something, not just having the facts, but it's being able to apply it in your life. Going back to the tailor, the mark, the garment, here's a scripture, Exodus 28:3. "You shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom," that's chokmah, "that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as a priest to me." Now, this is God speaking. And he's saying, don't just give this task of making Aaron's priestly garments to anybody. Make these the people that have chokmah. They have the wisdom of how to put a garment together. They are skillful in applying their knowledge and understanding. That's what God wanted for Aaron's garments, to minister to him as a priest, to minister to God. That is chokmah. That is wisdom from God. That's what God is asking of those people. So let's go on. This shrewd application of knowledge. This is like turning fine fabric and thread into a fine finished garment. That's true wisdom. Here's a simple example from Proverbs, another one. "Four things on the earth are small, yet they are extremely wise," as the proverb says. "Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hydraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags." Those are like little rodents. If you don't know what a hydrax is, it's like a little rodent kind of creature. "Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. And a lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in king's palaces." Well, what do we learn from those simple statements about animals in the animal kingdom? I love to watch animal kingdom stories and the TV programs about animals. But what do we learn from those in Proverbs? Well, ants, look at them. They're prepared for life. They're prepared for the seasons. They're prepared for winter. They store up. They work together. They're prepared. The hydraxes, they build strong homes. They find the rocks where things are solid. The locusts, they go out together in cooperation with each other. They have no king, they have no queen, they have no leader, but they go out together. They cooperate with each other. The lizard, stealthy? I don't know. Even the guy I got this material from didn't really know what the lizard, what his strength was. I'll let you think about that one, and you come and tell me what you think the lizard, why he is wise. I'll let you tell me that one. Think about that one for a while. Then again, why should we listen to Solomon? What about his words are so, why should we give him, listen to his words as expressed in the book of Proverbs? Well, first of all, first reason number one, he loved God and respected him with worship. 1 Kings 3:3 says, "Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incenses on the high places." Excuse me. One of the things I'd like to point out in here is Solomon loved the Lord, and he acted on that love by worshiping God. You're here today for that same reason, I hope. You're here to show your love for God by worshiping him. The other interesting thing is here is Solomon walked according to the instructions given him by his father David. I hope you children, and that's why I'm so glad my grandchildren are here and other children are here. I see Ernest back there. I see a lot of other kids. You children need to learn from your parents and from your grandparents and from those that are willing to teach you in classes. That's why we have these Bible classes. That's why this is so important. And when parents and teachers and you try to teach you, you should listen to them, especially if they're teaching you godly things. Number two, King Solomon humbly desired wisdom from God. He said, "But I am only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" This is Solomon talking to God, desiring the wisdom, saying, "I am just but a simple child. I need guidance from you, God." And so he sought that out. That's commendable. And that's why Solomon's wisdom is worth listening to. And again, Solomon's wisdom comes from God. 1 Kings 3:11 and 12 says, "So God said to him, 'I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be.'" I would say from that statement, Solomon is probably the wisest man on the earth next to Jesus Christ himself. Solomon was a very wise man, brought up by one of the wisest kings, David, trained and was given wisdom by God. One other thing, Solomon received a bonus. "Moreover, I will give you," this is God talking to Solomon, "moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings, and if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you long life." Solomon was one of the richest people probably ever. But because he humbly came before God and said, "I need wisdom from you, Father. I need you to teach me how to be wise in this world in dealings with your people," God said, "Because you haven't asked for wealth and power and all these other things that most people would normally ask for, I'm going to give them to you anyway because you deserve it, because of your humble spirit and your desire to know me." So what can we learn from Proverbs? Let's just do a quick list, short list. We can learn to fear God. We can learn that we need to seek God. We can learn that we need to get wisdom. We talked about what wisdom is, right? It's the application of knowledge and intelligence. We can learn to avoid temptation. There's a lot in the book of Proverbs about temptations and what to avoid, what to watch out for, especially for young people. As you young people go through life, you are going to be faced with temptation after temptation. The world will try and steal your heart away from God. Please read the book of Proverbs. Please understand the temptations that are there in the world. It will tell you, and it will tell you how to stay away from them. Treat others fairly. Book of Proverbs talks a lot about being fair to your neighbor. We're going to look at a couple scriptures. Honor your parents. Children, honor your parents. Obey your parents. Listen to your parents. That's what honoring them is. Don't talk back. Okay? That's not honoring your parents. Right, Emma? Right, Logan? Is Logan back there? Hi, Logan. Are you listening? Okay, good. He's listening. All right. Honor your parents, obey your parents, and listen. Don't associate with bad people. Very smart. And live a pure life. Seek to live your life in a pure way, as if somebody was watching you all the time. These are some of the things we can learn from Proverbs. So here's an introduction to the book of Proverbs, a few scriptures, so that you can see some of the wisdom that God has. Proverb on communication: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words, a harsh word stirs up anger. Boy, if you just applied that one proverb in all areas of your life, and for me, including my marriage, I would do so much better. Don't we all know those situations where you get together with a friend or something and you just feel that tension building up, and then if you say, wait a minute, let's just calm down here a little bit. Let's talk about this. We may have a disagreement or a difference of opinion, but let's talk about it. Boy, you can take the tension right out of that so quickly. Isn't that a wise statement, a wise thing to live by? How about a proverb on personal character? One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. You got a corrupt heart? You're seeking worldly things all the time? You're seeking to do evil? You're not going to prosper in the end. Maybe you'll have small inroads, but you won't prosper in the end. Very wise proverb. This is what our character needs to be like. How about a proverb on life's journey? Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Some of us don't plan enough in our lives. We don't think enough about our path we're taking, which way we're going in our life. We don't think about that. We're kind of just led along and we kind of just fall into things. We don't think about taking steps that make sense, that honor God. But give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Steadfastness is something we can learn from Proverbs. How about on being a good neighbor? Here's where we get into this good neighbor, how to treat other people. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you have already have it with you. You borrow a tool from your neighbor, it's in the truck. You're sitting in front of his house. And he says, oh, how about that tool? Do you have it? Oh, I'll bring it to you some other time. It's the wrong attitude. It's right out there in the truck. Just walk out there and get it and give it back to him. Isn't that's my pet peeve. Somebody who borrows things from me and then doesn't have the courtesy to return them. That shows a lot of character when you do that. When you return things on time and treat people with respect. Proverb on mental health. Hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. What do you long for in this life? What do you want? If you can fulfill those things with God, you're going to have a successful life. So you need to think about that. But a hope deferred can make a heart sick. If you just keep hoping for something that's out of reach that you shouldn't be hoping for anyway, it's going to make you feel awful. It's just going to make your heart sad. How about a proverb on respecting parents? Uh-oh, children, here's where I want you to listen up again. Blake, you listening? Okay. Listen to your father or stepfather who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Goes for grandparents and parents. Oh, somebody woke up. That's good. Okay. Sometimes you got to give them that little motherly nudge. Yeah, say, here, listen to this one. This one's for you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Boy, if you start despising your mother, are you going to be in such trouble in life? Because if you don't respect your mother, you're not going to respect any authority in life, right? It starts with respecting your parents, and then you can respect the police, and then you can respect your government, and then maybe you can even respect God. How about proverb on wisdom source? For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So why is Proverbs so important? Why do I think it's so important? Because God spoke through Solomon, and now we can pick it up and read it in the book. The words of God spoken through Solomon's wisdom. And we can read that. That's important. That's powerful. That's knowledge. That's chokmah. Okay? Here's the invitation. I might even get you out here early. Simple invitation. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles and instruction. Mitch read that this morning, but I'm reading it to you again because this is the essence of it right here. It's to be wise and hear and increase in wise counsel. Where do you go to get wise counsel? I'm giving you one source, the book of Proverbs. Take some time. Grab my sheet back there on your way out if you didn't get one already. I printed about 25. There should be enough for one per family, but we'll make more if we need more. But increase in learning. So what do you need to do? You need a teachable heart. You need humility, enough to say, I need to be taught some things. How about just simple willingness? Willingness to listen to God, willingness to read His Word and listen to it, willingness to be taught. How about enough faith to try? If you have a little bit of faith, just as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So why don't you get just a little bit of faith, start applying this knowledge, this wisdom in your life, and see what happens. God will bless you if you apply these things in your life. Have enough faith to try. What's your garment looking like these days? Your spiritual garment. Maybe like this. Hopefully more like that. Okay, granted, those are two opposite extremes. You know, one guy kind of shabby and the other guy very put together, very, very much like me. Don't want to be too proud, though. You know what that comes before, yeah. Anyway, where are you at in your spiritual garment? The one garment that you can make, where are you at with it? The question is for you to answer. Are you somewhere in between these two guys? What side are you leaning toward? Are you spending the time to develop the knowledge in God's Word? Are you coming to services and Bible studies so you can learn? That's what we do this for. Or do you look more like this? Isaiah 64, 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. That's a very poetic yet very powerful lesson in a single verse. So many people in the world are literally being swept away by their sin. They're not going to make it into heaven. They're not going to receive the blessings of God. They're literally being swept into destruction by their sin because they have not made it right with God. When God looks at us, everything we can do in ourselves, all of our good works, all of our righteous acts, us trying to be righteous and godly, they can look to God as filthy rags if we haven't taken care of the problem of sin. And how do we take care of the problem of sin? For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, Galatians 3:27. This is the challenge of God. This is the invitation today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, the Son of God, who will come with power and authority and glory, and you understand the message of the gospel, and you understand that when you clothe yourself with Christ, when you put on the body of Christ and you're clothed with Him in baptism, that now you do not have your own ugly dirtiness that God sees. You now, He now, when He looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees perfection. What will you do with Jesus today? Continue to build your garment, continue to make it better, continue to use Proverbs and other books of the Bible, for certainly there are much more in the Bible, other books and other wisdom that we can learn, but Proverbs is a great place to start. And if you have needs spiritually today, or you're not in the body of Christ, you have not been baptized into Christ, you're not wearing Him as your pure garment, then you need to think about that and you need to respond. What a great way to start out the new year, to have your sins completely forgiven and have you be a member of the Lord's body by being baptized into Christ. That's the end of my sermon today. I'm ending up just about right on time. I hope you will take this and go out and search the scriptures more and be blessed by what you see. Will you come as we stand and sing? Mm-hmm.